All right, well, welcome to the January session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. My name is David Arterburn. I am from Papillion. I am pleased to be joined on the panel today by Judge Mike Pirtle of Omaha, and our Chief Judge Mike Pirtle of Omaha, I should say, and Judge Frankie Moore of North Platte. Our first case today is Kelly versus Kelly. And counsel, I would remind you that today's arguments are live streamed on NET. So if there's any sensitive information that you may have, please take that into account as you make your arguments. So with that, we will begin. This is again Kelly versus Kelly, case number A20-364. And Ms. Vogel, we will let you begin your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Katie Vogel, and I, along with the law firm of Koenig Dunn, represent the plaintiff appellant in this case, Kelly Kelly. I would like to reserve 2 minutes of time for rebuttal. This is a modification brought by appellant when the care and therapy being recommended by professionals for the party's minor child was being denied by the appellee. While there are extensive facts set forth in our brief, I want to highlight the following facts and issues on appeal. In 2017, the parties divorced and were awarded joint legal and physical custody of their three-year-old daughter, Claire. At that time, the parties had an 8-6 parenting schedule, and they had agreed to an upward deviation in child support to avoid expense sharing. At the time of the divorce, their child was in therapy with Dr. Bird, a psychologist to address behavioral issues such as emotional outbursts and aggression she was experiencing at preschool. The child had been asked to leave a preschool due to her behaviors, and in the fall of 2018, she was having trouble at her second preschool. Around that time, the child came to appellant and made a disclosure of sexual abuse by appellee's mother. Shortly thereafter, on November 21st, Claire had a violent episode at her preschool. Both parties were called. The child's classmates and teachers had to be removed from the room, and the child had to be physically restrained. While Ms. Kelly wanted to take their child to be evaluated at Children's ER, appellee did not, and as it was his parenting time, Ms. Kelly deferred to him. When Ms. Kelly's parenting time began on the 25th, she took their child to the ER, where again the child made the disclosure of sexual assault to the ER social worker. That social worker, in accordance with protocol, contacted Project Harmony and CPS. When she testified about the incident, the social worker remarked that Ms. Kelly's actions were reasonable, and that the reporting was triggered by the child's disclosure and was not induced or influenced by Ms. Kelly. The child was then interviewed by Project Harmony on November 27th, and a multidisciplinary team recommended that the child receive trauma therapy. Mr. and Mrs. Kelly then followed up with Dr. Bird's office in December 2018 and January 2019. And at that time, Dr. Bird stated that she would defer to Project Harmony with respect to any trauma-based therapy, but clearly recommended that the child continue to have therapy. From a legal process, by this point, Ms. Kelly had filed a complaint to modify child support and to award her final decision-making authority for the child. And the court had entered a temporary order that the parties would follow the treatment recommendations of the child's current therapist, Dr. Burt. But again, rather than following these recommendations of Dr. Burt, Mr. Kelly requested a custodial evaluation by Dr. Cottom, which the court ordered in May 2019. At this point, between the time of the disclosure and therapy recommendation in November 2018, it is now May 2019. And while the child psychologist had recommended treatment, and despite a court order that they were to follow that recommendation, Mr. Kelly continued to obstruct therapy, substituting his own judgment for those of the healthcare professionals.
Ms. Vogel.
Yes.
I fear we may run out of time to get to some of your arguments. So if you don't mind my interruption.
Sure.
I know that one of your assignments of error relates to the court's denial of, or actually quashing a subpoena for Dr. Lauk, and also not granting a continuance so you could question Ms. Johnson. And I'd like to ask you about that for a moment. So the social worker you're mentioning earlier was Shane Romero?
Shana Romero, yes, correct, Your Honor.
And she was able to testify that Kelly's actions were reasonable and in the reporting. And didn't the evidence regarding Lauk's reporting come in through her affidavit? And didn't her medical records come in as well?
Some of the information did, Your Honor, but I think that as set forth in the offer of proof, had Dr. Laus, along with Ms. Johnson, been able to testify, they would have added additional context and information as to why their mandatory reporting requirements were triggered. So we believe that their information and testimony was necessary to further support Ms. Kelly's position of the case, which was that it was not Ms. Kelly making these allegations, that in fact, based upon the minor child, bruisings and markings on her, statements being made by the minor child, that those are what triggered the mandatory reporting requirements of the individuals. So we believe that their testimony as set forth in the offer of proof was necessary, and the court's quashing of those subpoenas and denial of additional time for their testimony to come in was an abuse of discretion.
Let me ask you about where I think you want to go as well is the limitation on your client's reporting is one of your assigned errors. What did the court say anything either in oral findings or in the record as to why it ordered that limitation?
No, Your Honor. While the facts of this case there are a lot of them, the court's condition that Ms. Kelly have to seek permission of the court prior to report making any allegations of abuse, I believe first appeared in the order. And as set forth in our brief, any person in Nebraska who suspects child abuse or neglect is a mandatory reporter under Nebraska law. We would also contend that Nebraska Statute 28907 provides for criminal penalties should anyone make a false statement to a law enforcement officer or to any other individual charged with investigating a criminal matter. So in essence, a remedy already exists in the law should this believe to be an issue in the future. Of course, we believe any reporting that was done or any statements that were made, the proper protocol was followed, that the necessary individuals made the required did the mandatory reporting, but that it is an error for the court to have placed this limitation on Ms. Kelly moving forward.
Are you familiar with any cases that address this type of limitation in a custody case?
I am not, Your Honor. Furthermore, we just don't think that the evidence of this case supports this restriction and that the facts of this case don't support this decision. As set forth in our brief, we believe it was an abuse of discretion to award Mr. Kelly final decision-making authority as his actions. The evidence does not support that he acted in the minor child's best interest. His own testimony was that he did not believe that their child needed trauma therapy, and in the process effectively denied her therapy during the pendency of these proceedings. And in fact, no therapist or healthcare provider or Dr. Cottom, in fact, opined that she did not need therapy. All were of the opinion that she needed therapy, and yet Mr. Kelly would not consent to that.
Didn't Dr. Cottom say trauma-based therapy wasn't appropriate in this case because there wasn't evidence of trauma?
Your Honor, I think that she said that she was not trained in trauma therapy, that a trauma-informed therapist could be beneficial. And so She clearly stated that Claire needed therapy, and in fact, Project Harmony is the entity that recommended trauma therapy. Dr. Cottam, by her own testimony, is not trained in that. But likewise continued to support that the minor child did need therapy.
You wish to save the rest of your time?
I do, Your Honor.
Okay, we will stop you there then. And Ms. Peebles, you may argue.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a privilege to be here. And just want to make note of my substantial opposition. And it's always good to be in front of you with another good lawyer on the other side. I'd like to address your questions, if I may, specifically delivered by Judge Moore. I think it's a very important clarification to note that Ms. Kelly's interpretation of what constitutes sexual abuse has not been concluded by any professional, and this child has been examined by many. I would also report that it is absolutely not accurate that Mr. Kelly failed to follow the recommendations of Dr. Jennifer Burt. Exhibit 5, which is appellee's own exhibit, page 190, provides precisely what she thought should happen after the disclosures the mother set out. And they are the clinic. And by the way, this also recites that not Dr. Cottam professed to be unfamiliar with trauma-focused therapy, but in fact, it was Jennifer Burt who said, specifically again, Exhibit 5, page 190, that she was not able to make recommendations to the court on trauma-focused therapy because she was not trained in that area, and she would defer to Project Harmony's guidelines. However, if the parents did not agree to trauma-focused therapy, she indicated that a custodial evaluation should take place, and that custodial evaluation should be performed by Dr. Glenda Cottam. She referred to as Gloria, but everyone understood exactly who she was pointing to, or Dr. Ted DeLate. And this is a very important detail because it seems to get underreported and or not reported by the appellant as to whether or not this trajectory was to go forward and whether or not it actually had two possible installments. They always recite that trauma-focused therapy was the only installment that could have been provided, when in fact that is not at all accurate as to what the presentation was of Dr. Jennifer Burt. I would also refer the court to Exhibit 118, which in fact is an order on that therapeutic detail. And by agreement, the appellant's counsel and appellee's counsel both determined that Dr. Glenda Cottam should perform an assessment, and that is her specific requirements for that investigation are recited in 118. Judge Moore also asked about Dr. Luke's testimony. It was capsulized in Exhibit 125. So I do believe that there was a very substantial platform for the appellee to present her case after 4 days, after 78 exhibits, after at least 7 witnesses. You also asked about authority to deny someone reporting ability without a court considering it. In this case, Mr. Kelly has been held up 4 times in front of different agencies for investigations, and they have been overlapping. In fact, while Nebraska was coming to investigate him, Iowa was closing an investigation, all spurred or brought by Ms. Kelly, all determined unfounded.
So, Ms. Peebles, were those allegations different than the allegations regarding Mr. Kelly's mother?
Yes, ma'am, but they all had to do with abuse. So they were abuse related, whether that was physical or inappropriate parenting. But yes, ma'am, that's accurate. The case that I believe gives a platform to Judge Pikenen to put some kind of guardrails on Ms. Kelly is Minka versus Minka, and this court's well familiar with it, which is a November 19, 2019 case. And that was contrasted in the brief of the appellee in our understanding and position is that gave Judge Pikenen a platform to put in that particular prohibition. There's a remedy. It's not a closed event. So there's certainly an opportunity here if Ms. Kelly again believes that something has happened. It's our position, of course, that, you know, there's only a single issue here, and that is whether or not there was an abuse of discretion. And we think resoundingly that can be answered no. As I've already recited, there was significant testimony by Dr. Cottom. That testimony ran for the better part of a day. And I think it indicated very clearly the record that the most compelling contrast in this case were Ms. Kelly's absolutism that abuse occurred and Mr. Kelly's uncertainty of it, but his willingness to have it examined. He did not want their daughter, who was very young, 4 and 5 during this period of time, to be engaged in trauma-focused therapy if there was no basis. After a thorough investigation, none was discovered, just as you recited earlier, Your Honor. And Dr. Cottom also testified that if you engage in this kind of therapy with a child who's not been a victim of it, then you will have some significant poor outcomes. And she indicated that Mr. Kelly's refusal to engage in it was appropriate. She also, as the court may recall, made some other recommendations about custodianship, including neutralizing pickup and drop-off sites. But I think it's also very important to note that Mackenzie Bird, who was the Project Harmony witness that was brought in by the appellee, was very clear that one, she had no mental health care training, and two, that while she recommended trauma-focused therapy, she said specifically, I do it in almost every case that comes to us for almost every child that's before me. So I think that was more of a repetitive model that they place on children, and there was no critical analysis of whether or not in this case it was appropriate. There's also videography evidence from the Project Harmony interview, which I think if the court reviewed Exhibit 17, you would find that there's no substantiation of sexual abuse, although it was recited over and over in Ms. Kelly's brief.
Ms. Peebles, I wanted to just shift gears real quick with you since you're getting low on time. Was it an abuse of discretion for the court not to continue the upward deviation in the child support that had been going on?
Your Honor, from our position, absolutely not. The parties both came in and asked that the court recalibrate support. They both asked that custodianship be recalibrated. And because there was no longer an agreement that expense sharing would be a non-event, then I believe certainly the court had the right to reconsider child support in terms of whether or not a deviation was appropriate. And there was no deviation that was, I'm sorry about that, there was no deviation demonstrated or warranted.
Is that likely to create more conflict going down the road between these parties than what might have been had she continued it?
Your Honor, not in the position of this office, because that expense sharing will be done in a manner that will be always on an electronic mode, electronic basis, so the parties will not have to have any type of integration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have any further argument, Ms. Peebles? You got 30 seconds, it looks like.
Only that we would ask that the court affirm the decision. I believe for the reasons indicated that that's the appropriate outcome here, and thank you for your consideration.
All right, thank you. And how much time did Ms. Vogel have left? Looks like a minute.
1 minute and 4 seconds, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Vogel.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess I would like to start, this is not the Manka case. That case is detailed in our brief, involved reporting by the mother. Here it is mandatory reporters other than the mother making reports of abuse. Dr. Laux, the children's ER, Project Harmony. This is not about, this is numerous providers making reports of abuse.
But counsel, who's starting the ball rolling?
Appellant had to obviously take child to a doctor, but bruises, discussions between the providers and the minor child not influenced by the mother are leading to this, these disclosures and triggering then those providers' protocols and obligations to report.
The order doesn't prohibit your client from taking the child to a doctor, does it?
It does not prohibit her taking the child to a doctor. No, it does not. I guess I would say that there's been no finding or final decision made regarding the allegation of sexual abuse, because Project Harmony and the entities who are charged to investigate things, their recommendations were not followed, and therefore no final decision could be made. And I see I'm out of time, Your Honors.
All right. Thank you very much. Counsel, we will take the case under submission, and we will issue a decision as soon as we can. Thank you very much for your arguments, and you are excused.
Thank you both.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Appreciate it.